You have said that the U.S. military has essentially aerial superiority, naval superiority over Iran, yet we're not escorting ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Why? How did you not plan for this?
We plan for it. We recognize it. Because ultimately, we want to do it sequentially in a way that makes the most sense for what we want to achieve and ensure that we're sending the right signals to the world when we do so. So when Chris Wright speaks or we speak, it's based on a full assessment of what we're up against, what we want to say to the world, how that we want them to see and understand the conflict. It's like this whole idea of the war widening. That's what the press wants to make it look like it's widening and chaos is ensuing. No, we're actually closing in on grabbing hold of and controlling what objectives we want to achieve and how we want to achieve them. It's called shaping operations and setting the conditions. But when you shape the environment, you don't always tell. I mean, foolish political leaders and foolish military leaders of the past will hang an exact deadline on it. Or here's exactly when we'll do what we're going to do. Or here's how long it's going to take us. And then if you meet that, maybe you meet it. But if you don't, you fail. And if you're far beyond, we know exactly what we're shaping and why. We're sending those signals working across the interagency. The Strait of Hormuz is something we've paid attention to from the beginning. And the American people can rest assured we will ensure that our interests are advanced, no doubt. The only thing prohibiting transit in the Straits right now is Iran shooting at shipping. It is open for transit should Iran not do that.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, March the 13th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off on this Friday the 13th. It's Friday the 13th, everybody. Let's start things off with some breaking news. So I saw this post on X from AF Post, which says Israeli and Western estimates say the number of Iranian missile launchers has remained largely unchanged despite a week of intense airstrikes due to the difficulty of locating small mobile targets without full aerial support. That would be bad for the Trump administration's narrative about destroying all of the launchers. There were videos circulating the interwebs which showed a lot of fake decoy weapons and launchers, inflatable launchers and paintings, outlines and paintings that CENTCOM believed they had hit and destroyed, but they just turned out to be decoys. Someone asked Grok if this post is accurate, this news is accurate, and Grok has not weighed in. But apparently this is from a Bloomberg article. Okay. Bloomberg, not the most reliable of sources. I've been burned by them many times. We're getting an announcement from the Pentagon where they are saying that they have destroyed all ballistic missile production in Iran, and that Tehran is only using missiles they already had. They can't produce any more missiles, and now they're just going through their existing inventory. So a lot of conflicting reports about Iranian missiles and Iranian launchers, the state of Iran's missiles and munitions. A lot of fog of war. The Financial Times is saying that France and Italy, they have entered into negotiations with Iran to ensure safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. That would be something, huh? The Coalition of the Willing, Macron's Coalition of the Hormuz. It's not about joining the war with the United States and Israel. It's about negotiating with Iran in order to ensure safe passage. So that's the Financial Times. And And I kind of believe this. I believe this because I've seen multiple reports which are circulating, which claim that much of Europe is breaking with Trump on this one. They want nothing to do with this Middle East-Iran war. Sikorsky, neocon, thank you, USA. Thank you, USA Sikorsky. Say it ain't so. Thank you, USA Sikorsky. He is saying that Poland doesn't want any part of this war. No direct threat from Iran to US. U.S. before war, Polish foreign minister says. Radoslaw Sikorsky says Warsaw has no intention of joining the attack on Iran because we have plenty to deal with here next door. Plenty to deal with here with Project Ukraine. You know what Europe wants? Let's cross the street. What Europe wants is for Trump to drop this Middle East war and to refocus on Project Ukraine and a war with Russia. That is what Sikorsky wants. There are reports that that Maloney, she is breaking with Trump. I actually listened to a speech of Maloney's in Parliament, and she condemned the war crime of hitting the elementary school in Minab. She condemned it. Official statement from Giorgia Meloni. And Macron, well, that's an interesting one. Negotiating with Iran, according to the Financial Times, to ensure safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. This comes right after we got the news that 7 or 8 French soldiers were injured. 7 injured and 1 soldier actually died from a strike on a base in Iraq. And I read Macron's statement on this strike. Let me see if I have it bookmarked here. And I got the sense from Macron's statement that he has no appetite to enter this conflict, even after the death of 1 French soldier and 6 or 7 additional French soldiers being injured on this strike. When you read his post on X, it doesn't seem like Macron is wanting to join the United States or retaliate in some form against Iran. Here is what Macron posted. Chief Warrant Officer Arnaud Frion of the 7th Battalion of Chasseurs Alpins from the Verset died for France during an attack in the Erbil region of Iraq. To his family, to his brothers in arms, I want to express all the affection and solidarity of the nation. Several of our soldiers have been wounded. France stands by their side and with their loved ones. This attack against our forces engaged in the fight against Daesh since 2015 is unacceptable. Their presence in Iraq is part of the strict framework of the right of the fight against terrorism. The war in Iran cannot justify such attacks. This is translated, this post from Macron. But notice how he doesn't come out and blame Iran. I don't see him blaming Iran anywhere in this this post on X. They died during an attack. He died during an attack in the Erbil region of Iraq. And nowhere in here does he say that he is blaming... I want to cross the street, that he is blaming Iran. So it does look like there is a split, a divide between Europe and the United States and the Trump administration. Well, Kaya Kallas, she is staying supportive of the United States, kind of supporting the United States. I'll get to that in my clown world, but Kaya Kallas and the EU, they did place sanctions on Iran, so they did do that. That's got to mean something, right? Probably means nothing, placing sanctions on Iran. The EU sanctioning Iran. So let's shift gears and turn to Donald J. Trump, the U.S. president, who is saying some crazy stuff. Seems like Trump is losing touch with reality. That's the way it looks. He was speaking to the media yesterday, and Trump started to talk about how his presidency, his first year as president, has been the best year of a president ever. There's never been a better year for a president, he said. He talked about how it includes stopping 8 wars with a 9th to come. That is crazy. I mean, that is really, really crazy.
There's never been a better year for a president. I mean, I've been rated. There has never been a better year for a president first year than what we had. That includes the stoppage of 8 wars with a 9th to come. And what we've done, the economy is roaring. It's phenomenal. That's why I'm here. This is an excursion, a little excursion, and I think it's only that. And in that little time, that short period of time, we've taken care of business. We took care of a country that was very dangerous, very bad, would have had a nuclear weapon if it weren't for me and the B-2 bombers and what we did not very long ago. They would have had a nuclear weapon, and we would have had levels of problem that nobody has ever seen before.
Best presidency, the best first year of a president, and it includes stopping 8 wars with a 9th to come. So Trump is saying that he started this war with Iran in order to stop it so it can be number 9. Is that what he's getting at? What a weird, delusional statement for him to make. And then he talked about how this is a little incursion. It is an incursion, kind of, but it's an excursion. It's a little excursion. The U.S. might be about to put ground forces into Iran, an incursion. But he said it's a little excursion, and he did the hand thing again. So he's been told to do the hand gesture, right? It's a little excursion, he said. The wave. All scripted. This is the narrative that they're going with. It's a little excursion. Well, that and now they've shifted to Russia, right? That's how you know this war is going really bad for the Trump administration, because they're floating out the narrative with the help of the UK media, but also Bloomberg and other outlets in the United States are also pushing this narrative that what they're seeing in the war in Iran, the reason that Iran is fighting back and the reason that they're striking so many targets is because you're seeing Putin's hidden hand. That's what they're saying. Hidden hand. HH. PHH. Putin's hidden hand. They're good with the slogans. You got to give it to them. I've been saying this for a long time. One thing that the collective West is very good at is those slogans. The narratives, the scripts. Putin's hit his hand in a hidden hand. Say that fast 3 times. Putin's hidden hand. Putin's hidden hand. Putin's hidden hand. Every outlet in the UK ran the same title. Putin's hidden hand in Iran. Putin's hidden hand in Iran. People familiar with the matter are saying it's Putin's hidden hand in Iran. John Healy, the UK, the very brave, very capable, very smart, very competent Defense Secretary John Healy, the Grim Reaper, John Healy. He's the Grim Reaper, not Kushner. Anyway, he's saying that everything is pointing to Putin's hidden hand in Iran. Russia, Russia, Russia. Blame it on Russia. When all else fails, when all of the narratives are crumbling and no one's buying them, it's a little excursion and we won. Trump floated that out yesterday. Short-term pain, long-term gain. They tried that one. That didn't go over too well. So now they're just, the scriptwriters are probably sitting at a table. This is how I imagine it. The scriptwriters are there sitting at a table in Hollywood or DC or London, wherever they are. And they're just sitting having a meeting and they're saying, man, nothing is sticking. No one is buying this. Let's just go with Russia. Just go with Russia. Forget about everything else that we've come up with. Russia. Hidden hand. Putin's hidden hand. That's a good one. It's a good one, Jim. I like it. Putin's hidden hand. It's got that kind of shadowy thing going on. That mysterious, evil, shadowy thing. The hidden hand. Putin's hand. Hidden. So they want us to believe. What they're telling the world is that the Trump White House did not plan for the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Okay, they didn't plan for that because we're getting reports that the White House was completely surprised at Iran's closing of the Strait of Hormuz. They're telling us that they were shocked that Iran decided to launch strikes at U.S. military bases and other targets in the region. And they did not expect Russia or China to provide any type of intel or targeting information to Iran. After everything that the United States provided to Ukraine, targeting being one of 100 things that the United States and the entire collective West provided to Ukraine in their war with Russia, using Ukraine as the battering ram, as the proxy, that they did not expect Russia or China to provide some sort of help to Iran, a BRICS member. You didn't anticipate the closing of the Straits of Hormuz. You didn't anticipate Iran targeting U.S. air bases and facilities across the region. And you did not anticipate any type of intel from Russia or from China, because they're also saying China is also providing intel to Iran. That doesn't look very good for the Trump administration. Here's Bloomberg. Putin's hidden hand guides Iran's strikes in widening the war. And from Zero Hedge, Western leaders pivot to blaming Putin's hidden hand as Iran war not going to plan. So Trump posted on Truth Social another panicky Truth Social post talking about how the United States has destroyed everything. I'm not going to read you the entire post, but it was a panic post. Fox News summarized Trump's post by saying, Trump says U.S. totally destroyed Iran. Watch what happens to these deranged scumbags today. Deranged scumbags. Did he actually say that in the Truth Social post? Or is that what he told Fox News? I mean, he really went off on Iran and the war that is unfolding in Iran. He talks about destroying the terrorist regime in Iran, militarily, economically, and otherwise. He starts lashing out at the New York Times, saying they're not reporting everything accurately. He talks about how the Navy's gone, the Air Force is gone. Everything is gone. Everything is decimated. I should just probably read you the post. Unparalleled firepower. That's the U.S. military. He doesn't say, I don't see him saying the word scumbag in this post. So he probably told that to Fox News. They've been killing innocent people all over the world for 47 years. Now I am the 47th president of the United States, and I'm killing them. What a great honor it is to do so. Thank you for your attention to this matter. What a great honor it is to do so. So the Financial Times is reporting that the U.S. has burned through years of munitions since the start of the Iran war. So the Pentagon is saying that they've destroyed everything that Iran has. All of the production capabilities of Iran have been destroyed. Then we're getting reports saying that Iran has most of their launchers. Trump is saying that everything's been decimated. And the Financial Times ran an article saying that the U.S. has burned through all kinds of weapons, all kinds of munitions. Details include concerns are reportedly mounting around rising costs and the U.S.'s ability to replenish stockpiles. The rapid depletion of weaponry includes advanced long-range Tomahawk missiles. Sources say the Pentagon is set to request $50 billion in additional spending for the military. The Pentagon officials told senators that the war had cost more than $11 billion in the first 6 days of strikes. Costs of the Iran war are rapidly mounting. That is the Financial Times reporting on the war. J.P. Morgan is saying that if the U.S. cannot achieve a short-term victory, then it will likely be forced to put boots on the ground, to get the Navy involved, to force the Straits of Hormuz to reopen. And J.P. Morgan is reporting that this will turn this short-term excursion into a multi-year war. Their words, not mine, a multi-year war. And we do also have the confirmed news, confirmed via CENTCOM, that a KC-135 tanker plane crashed. And I believe Reuters has reported that 5 U.S. servicemen, I don't want to get this wrong, I think Reuters reported that 5 servicemen died in this crash of this tanker. I don't know if I have it bookmarked. Trump urged tankers in the Strait of Hormuz to show that they are not afraid to take a stand. Boy, is that a panicky statement from Trump. Don't be afraid to take a stand. Just make your way through the Strait of Hormuz. Come on. The USS Gerald R. Ford caught on fire. But they say this was not some sort of attack. The Lincoln, I believe, is leaving, and the Bush is moving in, so the Bush is going to replace the Lincoln. I read that as well. The G7, according to Axios, are urging Trump to quickly end the war. You see, Europe is breaking the G7. The G7 is pretty much Europe. You got Canada there. You got Japan. Japan is going to get pummeled if this conflict continues, because they're very dependent on the oil and everything that passes through the Strait of Hormuz. Here we go. 4 U.S. servicemen were killed in the crash of the KC-135 refueling aircraft in western Iraq. According to the Pentagon, 2 more crew members are considered missing. I believe there were 2 refueling aircraft that crashed. Or one crashed and the other one was hit, or something happened, because CENTCOM is saying that this was friendly fire. Something happened to the second one, and it landed safely in Israel, according to CENTCOM. Here we go. U.S. Central Command is aware of the loss of a U.S. KC-135 refueling aircraft. The incident occurred in friendly airspace during Operation Epic Fury, and rescue efforts are ongoing. 2 aircraft were involved in the incident. 1 of the aircraft went down in western Iraq, and the second landed safely. This was not due to hostile fire or friendly fire. That's a weird statement from Central Command. So basically all of the aircraft that have gone down since the start of this war have not been from Iranian attacks, air defense or missiles or anything like that. That is what CENTCOM wants us to believe. It's been for various other reasons, or friendly fire, Kuwait. Friendly fire is what they were telling us a couple of days ago. Iran has had nothing to do with any of this. everything I've just read out, all of the news that I've just read out, really does paint a picture of chaos. How can you not say that this war is not going well for the Trump administration? How could you actually make the case that this is going well for the United States? If this was going well, if this conflict was going well for the United States, then would Scott Bessent be announcing that he's going to be temporarily lifting sanctions on Russian oil? Would that be something that the U.S. and Scott Bessent would announce if this war was going well? The U.S. rarely lifts sanctions on anybody. They've had sanctions on Cuba for how long? Sanctions on Iran for how long? Sanctions on Russia for how long? Once they put sanctions in place, it is extremely difficult for any part of the sanctions to be lifted, even temporarily. But here we are. U.S. Treasury will officially authorize the sale of crude oil from Russia, bypassing sanctions. And let me read you Scott Bessent's announcement, the part of Scott Bessent's announcement via X. At POTUS is taking decisive steps to promote stability in global energy markets and working to keep prices low as we address the threat and instability, interesting choice of words, posed by the terrorist Iranian regime. To increase the global reach of existing supply, U.S. Treasury is providing a temporary authorization to permit countries to purchase Russian oil currently stranded at sea. This narrowly tailored short-term measure applies only to oil already in transit and will not provide significant financial benefit to the Russian government, which derives the majority of its energy revenue from taxes assessed at the point of extraction. He wants to make it very clear that this is temporary and will not result in any benefit to Putin's hidden hand. This will not benefit Putin's hidden hand. It's just temporary. And blame it on Iran. This is all Iran's fault. But the president, he is taking decisive steps. Russia is now making an extra $150 million per day from its oil sales amid rising prices due to the Iran war. The Russian government is set to receive up to $5 billion in extra revenue by the end of this month. Bessent was giving an interview, I don't know to which outlet, but he actually said that the United States will begin escorting vessels through the Strait of Hormuz as soon as the military makes it possible for them to do so. He said they have been planning for this for months, as soon as militarily possible, and that they have been planning for this for months leading up to the Iran war. Okay, they've been planning all of this, all the chaos that I just read you. They've been planning this for months. This is all part of the plan. Trust the plan. That was Scott Bessent's message. Trust the plan. Everything is under control. You know the Naked Gun meme where Frank Drebin is in front of everything is like burning. Everything is exploding, blowing up. And Frank Drebin is like, nothing to see here. Everything okay. Go away. Nothing to see here. That's what this reminds me of. What a disaster. That's how it looks. But then again, maybe Trump has something up his sleeve. Maybe the United States has some sort of discombobulator or some sort of kidnap Maduro type of plan. Pete Hegseth said that Khamenei, the new supreme leader, he said he's all mangled. He was hit by Israel in the strike that took out his family. Jesse Waters is saying from Fox News, and no doubt the Trump White House, they gave this to Fox News. This story was provided to Fox News. But Jesse Waters is saying that the Trump administration and U.S. intelligence, they believe that Iran has uranium squirreled away. That's the words that they're using, squirreled away underneath this mountain called Pickaxe Mountain. And what the United States is thinking is to put together a special ops team to go into Iran to penetrate Pickaxe Mountain and to extract, to take the uranium. It's a nearly impenetrable bunker buried deep in granite where evil scientists have been working around the clock, cobbling together a program that was obliterated during Operation Midnight Hammer. The bunker busters might not be able to do the trick. Reports say special forces might have to be inserted to physically shut it down on the ground. Both sides waiting to see who blinks first. So far, the president says, in a way, we've already won. That's Jesse Waters of Fox News. Evil scientists working beneath Pickaxe Mountain, impenetrable granite mountain. There's a movie in there. Maybe there's an exit in there. Maybe there's an off-ramp in this story.
U.S. intelligence believe the Iranians squirreled away what's left of their uranium into what's known as Pickaxe Mountain, a nearly impenetrable bunker buried deep in granite where evil scientists have been working around the clock, cobbling back together a program that was obliterated during Operation Midnight Hammer. The bunker busters might not be able to do the trick. Reports say special forces might have to be inserted to physically shut it down on the ground.
Maybe that's the plan, to say that you sent special forces into Iran and they have taken hold of the uranium. War is over. Mission accomplished. Wouldn't surprise me. I doubt it, but it would not surprise me. Yesterday, ABC News, they published a report. It's starting to get dark. So ABC, they published this report about a drone strike into California that Iran, according to the FBI, was looking to launch drones into California. The FBI has warned police departments in California that Iran wants to retaliate for American attacks by launching offensive drones against the West Coast, according to an alert reviewed by ABC News. Now, ABC News, my understanding is that they just published this FBI warning, this FBI alert. That's all they did. They just took the FBI alert, the warning, and they published it. So Caroline Leavitt, she took issue with this reporting from ABC News by saying this post and story should be immediately retracted by ABC News for providing false information to intentionally alarm the American people. They wrote this based on one email that was sent to local law enforcement in California about a single unverified tip. The email even states the tip was based on unverified intelligence, yet ABC News left out this crucial fact in their story. Why? Okay, that's bad on ABC News. But then Caroline Leavitt said, to be clear, no such threat from Iran to our homeland exists, and it never did. Okay, so ABC News not pointing out that this was an unverified tip. Bad on ABC News. Very bad. But ABC News publishing an unverified email, an FBI warned the police, an FBI unverified email warning, I guess, is what ABC News published. Okay. They should have said that it was an unverified tip based on unverified intelligence. Okay, they probably could have said that. Maybe they did say it. I don't know. Caroline Leavitt says they didn't. But the part where she says, to be clear, to be clear, in all caps, no such threat from Iran to our homeland exists, and it never did. To be clear, no such threat from Iran to our homeland exists, and it never did. Iran was never threatening our homeland, never existed. Not with drones. Not with drones into California. Why is the U.S. in this war? Iran never posed a threat. A lot of images of Iranian missiles hitting Dubai, hitting the financial centers of Dubai, smashing into very tall financial buildings. Drones, I don't know if there were missiles, probably drones, I believe, that were hitting the financial center buildings in Dubai. I have read reports saying that the Gulf countries are out of air defense, or just about out of air defense. So they're completely exposed. You know who else is out of air defense, or soon to be out of air defense? Le Gobelin Vert. Soon to be completely exposed. But Zelensky, he is trying to find a way to suspend elections for at least 2 years, because according to Le Gobelin Vert, the Europeans have told him to fight, keep on fighting for another year and a half or two. And so, according to Zelensky, this interview that he gave, this means that he has to figure out a way to suspend elections for a couple of more years. Ah, the democracy, the human rights democracy beacon, the beacon of light and democracy that is the Zelensky regime. The Europeans said, fight for another year and a half or two. We will give you money. Under their influence, Zelensky gave the task to the political leadership to develop a plan to hold off elections in Ukraine for several more years, and how the parliament will work in such circumstances. An anonymous source from Zelensky's administration told Ukrainsky Pravda. That is where this report is originating from, Ukrainsky Pravda. And Politico is asking the question, what's gotten into Zelensky? What has gotten into Volodymyr Zelensky, who is in Paris at the moment meeting with little Napoleon Macron? A rainy day in Paris. But Zelensky, he decided to travel to France and to meet his good buddy, Emmanuel Macron. Anything to get out of Kiev. What's gotten into Zelensky, says Politico. As the war drags on and talks stall, the Ukrainian president's frustration with the West is spilling into public view. Yeah, Politico in this article, they talk about all of the nutty, crazy, wacko comments that Zelensky is making. Not looking good for the Green Goblin, according to this article. Perhaps it's time to limit Zelensky's appearance to the media, his speeches, his statements. It's time for Zelensky to talk less, because the stuff that's coming out of his mouth is looking pretty crazy. He is panicking, absolutely panicking, but I'm sure the strong arms, the warmth of Emmanuel Macron will be able to calm him down. His good friend, little Napoleon, will be able to provide comfort to Le Gobelin Vert. So the EU is going to try and figure out what's going on with the Druzhba pipeline. They're proposing a fact-finding mission to figure out if the Druzhba can be repaired and reopened so that they can get some oil flowing to Hungary, Slovakia. Europe in general is going to need a lot of oil, a lot of gas, given everything that's happening in the Middle East. So it looks like we might be getting a fact-finding mission to the Druzhba. Zelensky does not like this. He does not want anyone near the Druzhba pipeline to inspect the alleged damage of the Druzhba. Finland is reporting that there is no evidence of Russia sabotage in the Baltic, of communication cables. Remember all of that news that Russia is sabotaging and damaging communication cables in the Baltic? That is not true, according to The spy chief of Finland, no trace of deliberate Russian state activity has been found in repeated incidents involving undersea power and communication lines, Finland's spy chief says. Basically, his statement said that the cables undergo a lot of wear and tear, and many times ships anchors and all kinds of things come in contact with the cables, and it's been many years of this happening, and they just kind of are run down. That was pretty much his statement. It has nothing to do with Russia. What else is going on in the news? Stammer's in trouble again with the whole Mandelson Epstein affair. It looks like Stammer had all of the information about Mandelson and everything that he was doing with Epstein, and he still appointed him ambassador to the United States. And we did a video on the Duran, me and Alexander, just about an hour ago, and I will publish that probably tomorrow, where we talk about Stammer's latest troubles. But Stammer can now direct all of his energy towards the war in the Middle East, so he can try to not talk about everything that's happening with Mandelson, avoid talking about that, and shift the focus on the war in the Middle East. So at least he's got that. Let's not talk about Epstein. Let's focus on the Iran war. And let's do some clown worlds, and we can wrap up this Friday video as it's starting to get dark here in Nicosia. I'm just walking in circles, by the way. I'm just going around and around. But CNBC is saying, please, 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 Denmark urges citizens to avoid driving as oil prices spike. Yeah, you could do that. You can definitely plead with your citizens to stop driving. Don't drive so much, because we've got a big energy problem. The EU refuses to lift sanctions, even temporarily, on Russian oil. They're still refusing to lift their sanctions. So I guess it's going to be, hey, EU citizens, stop driving. that's going to be the solution. And we have the Financial Times interviewing Stunning and Brave. Kaya Kallas, EU must stick together against Trump's hostile tactics, says top diplomat. According to Kaya Kallas, the U.S. wants to divide Europe. That is what she told the Financial Times. I think it's really important that everyone understands that the U.S. has very clearly stated that they want to divide Europe. They don't like the European Union. That is what Kallas said to the Financial Times. So EU diplomacy, EU foreign policy in action. Trump is hostile. He wants to divide us. We're going to sanction Iran. We're going to anger China, which they have done. And Russia, 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 Russia. Blame Putin. Blame Russia for everything. 20th sanctions package, 21 sanctions package. Proxy war against Russia. That's EU diplomacy. They've pretty much, they're angering and pissing off everybody. 2 days ago, you sanctioned Iran. And now you're telling the Financial Times that Trump is hostile. You sanctioned Iran because the United States told you to sanction Iran. And now you're saying that Trump is hostile and he wants to divide Europe. It's a pretty good strategy that they have going on there in Brussels headquarters. How about this article? Kallas, sanctions against Iran are also a signal to Tehran. Okay, that's right. The sanctions against Iran are also a signal to Tehran. The sanctions against Russia are also a signal to Moscow. Okay, got it. Got it. And one more from Spiegel. This is on Merz. The chancellor sends texts and calls, but there is radio silence in Spain. When Donald Trump lashed out at Spain in the Oval Office, Friedrich Merz didn't come to the aid of the EU partner. Since then, he has been trying unsuccessfully to reach the disgruntled Prime Minister Sanchez. Is Madrid ignoring the chancellor? Poor Merz has a photo. The photo is of Merz with the phone on the phone. pick up Sanchez. Please pick up Sanchez, Spain. I miss you. I miss you, Spain. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus. I should have come to your defense. Trump is hostile. He's hostile. I don't know why I didn't defend you. I promise next time I will defend you, Sanchez. I miss you. I miss you, Sanchez. Pick up. Pick up. Oh, boy. Anyway, that's the video. Tehran.locals.com. What a mess of a world. My God. Oh, boy. The Tehran.locals.com. We are on Rumble and Odyssey and Telegram and X and the Tehran shop to pick up merch. And we are also on Substack. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.